Sairam, dear listener, it's time for Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Radio Sai Conversations with the alumni of Sai Schools and University. Under the spotlight today is Ms. Lina Bordolai Barua of Assam. She is in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Here is part one of this interview.
Sairam, dear listeners, welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, conversations with the graduates of Sai Schools and University. Our guest today is Ms. Lina Bordolai Barua, who spent 7 years between 1983 and 1989 at the Anandpur campus of the Sai University. Lina Bordolai Barua joined Baba's Anandpur College in 1983 in the intermediate program, that is the equivalent of grades 11 and 12. She went on to pursue her undergrad at the same campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, earning herself a BA degree in 1987. And in 1989, she completed her master's in English. Lina comes from the well-known Bordolai family of Assam in Northeast India. Her grandfather, a Gandhian and freedom fighter, Bharat Ratna, late Sri Lokapriya Gopinath Bordolai, was the first chief minister of the state of Assam. Her father, late Brigadier Dhirendranath Bordolai, served in the Indian Army, and the family came to Swami in 1976. However, Lina's uncles, Sri Biren Chankakoti and Sri Biren Bordolai, and her grandmother, late Mrs. Surabala Bordolai, were devotees of Baba from the 1960s. Both of Lina's siblings have studied at the Sai University, and one of them continues to serve the Sai mission as a teacher at Bhagwan's school here in Prashanti Nilayam. It was Lina's uncle, Sri Biren Bordolai, who originally initiated the Sai mission in Rongia and the surrounding areas, and he later taught at the Sai University for nearly 25 years between 1980 and the year 2004. Several children from Lina's family, including her son, her nieces and nephews, are current students of various Sai schools and the Sai University. Professionally, Lina Bordolai Barua is an associate professor at Rongia College in Rongia, Assam, near Guwahati, a town which has a vibrant Sai movement. Sairam, Lina, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories on Radio Sai.
Sairam.
Lina, your family is one of the early families to come from Northeast India to Baba. So, let's talk about the journey to Sai, the genesis across the family tree. And it involves, I understand, the Bordolai family as well as the Chankakoti family.
Yes. Swami was introduced to the family actually by, as you already mentioned, my uncle Biren Chankakoti, whose daughter continues to serve Swami here, Sevali Chankakoti, in the Ishwaramba school, and my uncle Biren Bordolai. It was actually our grandmother who introduced us to Swami's bhajans right from an early period.
How did she know about Swami?
She heard, through my uncle, as I said, Biren Chankakoti, through him. This was in the early 60s when there was a very vibrant Sai movement in Assam at that point of time. It continues even today, I must say. So we were actually posted in the 1970s, early 70s, Granny had come to stay with us in Delhi. And that is where she introduced us to bhajans. We were always a very musically inclined family. And we would all sing together whatever grandfather had taught my father. And we would sit together and sing these bhajans. But yet Swami had not kind of entered our lives as such, but it was just the music that attracted us. And then it was actually 1972 when we moved to Udhampur.
In Jammu and Kashmir,
yes. This was a little town over there, and we would live in these small little bashas, thatched roofs, and it was actually one house with a wall in between, and our neighbors were Sai devotees. This was Colonel Mr. and Mrs. Maman Singh, and they would have bhajans in their places every evening. And since we all loved music, so we would also sometimes have it at our house. And then one day, this was in 1972, one day, Ma went to her altar, and this was just at the windowsill. We had a little altar over there. And she saw a packet wrapped in newspaper, actually, and she couldn't decipher what language it was in. And she opened the packet, and there it was a yellow powder. So She couldn't understand what it is. So she asked auntie, Maman Singh auntie, what do you think this is? So she said that, you know, you are blessed because Swami has come to your house. Swami has blessed you here with this. This is haldi, she said.
Turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very auspicious.
Yes, it's very auspicious. That's what she told us. We didn't even know that. Mm-hmm. And then she asked us to mix it with milk and have it as prasad. But then this always bothered us, and what was written in that? What language was it and what was written there? So we thought it could be a South Indian language. So there was one South Indian officer under my father. So my father called him and then he read it and he said, this is Telugu. And we were all dumbstruck, like, how did that happen? And he tried to read what was written, and it was the story of the prodigal son.
Oh, in Telugu.
In Telugu.
From some Telugu Bible?
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing.
Mm.
And then we thought about it, and auntie told us then that, you know, I think Swami wants you back. Swami is calling you. So that was the first presence of Swami in our house. Mm.
And your father was an army officer.
He was an army officer.
You were all Western educated. How did you, were you able to accept all these propositions which were not based on rationality? They were based more on a leap of faith.
Exactly. No, he didn't. He didn't accept it. My mother and me, I mean the children, we were very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
We as children didn't know. This was something magical happening at home.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we didn't know much. But my father was totally, he didn't, I mean, he took it with a pinch of salt. In fact, actually, I must say this, a number of miracles would happen in uncle's house.
Next door neighbor?
No, Birin Bodloy, Mohenka.
Okay.
Yes, Vibhuti would be, I mean, photos would be covered with Vibhuti, Kumkum, honey. And dad would even see that and yet, you know, kind of not believe or chose not to believe at that point of time. In fact, and I'm digressing maybe, but in 19, when I was not even born and parents were posted in Hyderabad and Swami had come in 1964, if I'm not mistaken, and in Colonel Krishnamurti's house, my father knew them. And then someone came and told father that Swami is coming to stay here. Would you like to go and see him? And my father said, no, I'm not interested in sadhus and babas. So that was another missed opportunity, I think.
Can you imagine? But I guess everything has its own time.
I guess. So this was in 72, but then it was not until 1976, January of 1976, that we actually went to Swami. Swami called us to him.
How did that happen? How does this call thing happen?
That again, my granny came in January. Ours was a very typical army family. My father's was much into the army ways.
Mm.
And granny always wanted us to go the spiritual way since they had already known what is the Sai movement about. So she came and literally we had to force our father, the children, like we had to blackmail him and say that take leave and take us to Puttaparthi. He delayed, he wouldn't go, and then the leave was over and then finally we made him take extra 1 week leave and leave for Puttaparthi.
That's the first time you came to Puttaparthi.
The first time we came.
What was it like?
Oh, I can't describe.
Do you remember? You must have been little.
I was 9 years old, but I remember quite a bit of it. Actually.
All the golden sands, open air darshan.
Yes. Brother Rupak Chankakoti, he was there. He took us actually. Swami had already left. We stayed over as soon as we reached Bangalore. We stayed that night. And meanwhile, Swami left for Puttaparthi and he told Rupak Bhaiya to take us with him. So we reached Parthi, I think it must have been in the afternoon, I think. And that was our first experience of, digress
please, a little? Go ahead.
My mother had a dream of Swami on the train, actually. She saw Swami standing in front of a door, large door. She didn't know what it was, a large door. So the first darshan that we had of Swami was Swami standing in front of the interview door over there. And she said, Mahi, this is exactly what I saw in my dream. So he just looked at us and gave his Abhaya Hasta. And
so her dream came true.
Her dream came
How
true.
Beautiful.
Her dream came true. He just smiled at us and we met again. I mean, when Swami gives, I think he just floods you with his grace. And we were there for, I think, 8 days and we had 5 interviews. Day and night, he would call us. And that kind of transformed our whole lives. I was just 9 years old. There was a lot at home that was, in the sense, the typical army that we had. So,
all your lifestyle was gone. Army lifestyle went by the window.
Yeah, it did. I really don't know where to start, actually. Let me start with the interview, the first interview. We went inside and Swami, as soon as he came in, he created a bundi, hot bundi.
Sweet.
Yeah. He created it on my brother's hand. He said, give me your hand. He created it there and my brother says it was hot when he was holding it.
In his cupped palms.
Mm. And then he distributed it to all of us. Then I think it was Pongal, if I'm not mistaken. And he sat down. First he sat on the chair, then he came and sat down on the footstool with us.
So casual.
Yeah. He sat and then he said, Tum humko nahi janta hai. You don't know me, but hum tumko janam janam se janta hai.
Oh, but I know you for lifetimes. Many lifetimes.
Many lifetimes. And I have never seen my father like this. I mean, my father's always been a straight, upright, army kind of a person. And there he was like a child.
Just melting. Oh my God.
And Swami went on patting him. And my brother, he kept patting my brother's cheek, which covered with vibhuti, actually. So this was the first moment with Swami. And me, I was too mesmerized. I mean, I was just 9 years old. This man with the robe and the hair. All I knew is that I wanted to be close to him. I just wanted to sit close to him. And he pulled me and my brother beside him and made us sit by his side. So a number of things happened actually during the course of those days. One thing that I would like to share is that my granny, she was a little strict about her eating, like she would cook herself. And we said that we'll have it in the canteen, but granny said no, she would prefer to cook because they make it with onions. And then that next interview, I think Swami said, Khana kaisa hai? He asked us.
So, how was the food?
How was the food? And we said, Swami, it's wonderful. Then he looked at my granny and he said, Mataji, he used to call her Mataji, bolta hai ke piyaj nahi khata hai. Nahi amma, vichar nahi karo. Don't differentiate.
Okay.
Like she wouldn't have food cooked by others.
And also not in the canteen because of the onions used. She was Brahmin, I guess.
She was. So he said, Vichar nahi karo amma, sab ek hai. Like God is there everywhere. So that is something that changed us.
So all the taboos were gone.
You guys were
undergoing serious transformation very quickly.
We were.
He was undoing everything.
He was. The second thing, the most important thing, what happened was that he was, as I said, very loving to my father, more than to any of us. And then I think it was the second day where after the interview, my father went out, like he was about to go out. And then suddenly a volunteer rushes behind him and says, Swami's calling you, Swami's calling you. So he came running back. And meanwhile, we were staying in W1 at that time. So we also came, like Swami's calling us, we were also called. And then Swami took us to the interview room inside the Purnachandra, the green room. And he made us sit there and he looked at my father and he said, Kahan gaya tha?
Where did you go?
Where did you go? And I mean, father had actually wanted to just go out and his habits, some of them that we couldn't curb. So he said, nahi, nahi, thoda time mila aur tum bahar gaya. He said that. And then Swami...
You just got a little bit of a reprieve when you stepped out.
He stepped out. Uh-huh. And my father, right there and then, he did a shashtang pranam to Swami. And he said, Swami, hum aaj se sab kuch chhod dega. And believe it or not, he just left everything. He turned into a vegetarian. He turned into a teetotaler.
Non-smoking.
And our lives totally changed after that. We were completely
into
Swami's
world. Just those few words from Swami. It can take a person like a whole lifetime in rehab to get over habits like these.
Yes.
And the power of Swami's words.
Yeah.
I think it was the love with which he spoke.
Yes. In fact, he had given father a ring in the previous interview. So he asked for the ring back. So my mother thought that maybe he's going to punish my father now and say that, you know, take the ring back. But he blew at it thrice and it turned into a Navaratan ring and he gave it to him.
So the nine gems for the nine gems. Planets.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That was one that totally, completely changed our lives. That was
so that one week trip did a lot to the Birdloy family. You went back very sattvic.
Yes, we did. There was one more thing I'd just like to mention in the interview where he asked my brother, who is God? And
he must have been a little boy, your brother, at
yes,
that time.
He must have been 13, I suppose, mm-hmm. 13. And my brother said, you are God. And Swami said, no, each one of you is God, but you need to experience him. So that was something that we had not even heard about, you know, at that point of time.
I know.
And that was the most important lesson that he gave us right there, the first.
That each one of us is God.
No, this was in the first interview. And we are still trying to realize that even today we haven't, we are stepping, we try to go towards it, but the journey is long, I suppose.
Yes, that was 36 years ago.
That was 36 years ago. And during the course, I don't know, remember whether it was that trip or the others, but Mr. Hislop was called in one interview with us. And
Dr. John Hislop.
Dr. John Hislop. And there again, Swami told him, Swami was so excited. Again, he was on the footstool and told Mr. Hislop, tell them. I remember that very clearly. And then Dr. Hislop was telling us about a vision that he had of Swami, blue in color.
So when can Swami explain that in detail?
When he turned back to Swami, he was sitting in front and Swami was sitting behind. And he turned back. When he turned back, he saw Swami was not sitting there, but a blue figure. Swami had transformed into a different figure altogether. And he was describing the figure to us when my father said, oh, that is Krishna. And then Swami confirmed that to Dr. Hislop that, yes, that is Krishna.
And that's a beautiful incident that is chronicled in Dr. Hislop's book.
Yes.
And it does refer to an army officer and his family who were seated there.
Yes.
And the army officer shouted, oh, that must have been Krishna.
Krishna, yeah.
So
yes.
You were that family,
yes,
huh?
Yes,
little did
that
we know.
That was my father over there.
So do you remember what Dr. Hislop said about the description of Krishna, what he looked like?
He said even he at that point of time probably didn't know that was Krishna. He said that Swami had transformed into a beautiful, that's all I remember. I was just 9 or 10 at that time, but it was beautiful. That's what he said, and blue in color. And I cannot even describe how beautiful it was.
Lovely.
And he created talismans the first trip, 76 talismans for all of us. And then
what
he,
do you have?
I have a locket now. Thankfully, it's been with me. And yes, he also told grandmother that he would be giving her a shivling. He gave her a shivling later on after Shivratri, he did. And then he told my brother and me that you will come one day to my institutions to study. He told us.
But your elder sister also studied here?
She did. The strange thing is that at that point of time, she went back and she told my father that thank God he didn't tell me.
Only Lena and the brother got caught.
Yeah.
Little did she know she was going to be here for the rest of her life.
Exactly. These are the ways that he works. Yeah. And so this was the beginning. That's how we came.
I see. So I believe your family was involved in an accident as well?
Yes. In 1983. My father had a terrible accident, and mother, both of them
road
in the car, a road accident. They were going to leave my aunt. Aunt and uncle were going back from Delhi to Assam. This was early 1983. And at night, actually, suddenly a truck banged into their car and the car was totally mangled. You wouldn't think that anyone had survived that accident. But
this was in Delhi.
This was in Delhi, 1983. And none of us were there. We were all studying. My brother was studying in Vrindavan. I was in Anantapur. My sister was here in Puttaparthi. And my mother at that point of time, the moment of the accident, she saw a white, bright light. And she saw Swami standing there. And she saw three of us with Swami. And she says that it was such a beautiful feeling. She didn't want to come back. She just wanted to, as if she was going to become one with Swami. She had that experience. And later on, when they were taken to the hospital, they didn't know how they were taken. People took them in and they recovered. And Swami sent a letter and he sent Vibhuti through my sister to them. At that point of time, as he was recovering from that, there were some complications. And suddenly he had to undergo an emergency operation. It was decided that he would. So the previous night, my mother, the whole night, she sat with a glass of Vibhuti water, giving him Vibhuti the whole night. And in the morning around 4 o'clock, she saw an om had appeared on the glass and she told my father.
With Vibhuti? The om was formed by what?
There was a om imprint on the glass.
I see.
This glass was Vibhuti water that she was feeding him. There was an om
like an engraving?
Like an engraving, sort of, not exactly an imprint kind of a thing.
With a finger, somebody wrote with a finger.
Yeah, with a finger. Om.
I see.
And then she told my father that don't you worry, Swami is here. Swami will take care of us. And sure enough, in the morning when the doctors came for a last consultation, just before taking him to the operation, they said that, no, he doesn't need an operation now. It's fine. He will be able to recover without the operation. And around this time itself, there was an agarbatti that was burning. And that agarbatti, it burnt into the form of an om.
The ash.
The ash didn't fall. It was there.
Stringing like an om.
Yes, like an om. Totally like an om.
Mm-hmm.
So these were things like you could feel Swami's presence always, always with us. And especially in your moments of...
despair.
Yes, despair where you think that there's nothing.
Yeah.
You don't know, there's nobody. And I think that's the time that he carries you with him.
Totally. Now, if I may ask, Leena, when Swami sent a letter to Delhi for your dad with your sister Nina, what was in the letter? I'm just curious to know.
He said, Bodloy, lots of blessings. Everything will be fine. So everything will... That was in English that he wrote, a three-line letter it was. Everything will be fine. My blessings with you. Sending Vibhuti through your daughter Nina.
Uh-huh.
Swami is there.
How reassuring.
Yeah.
Your family must be treasuring that letter.
Yes, we framed it and it's there in the family altar. It's there.
I can imagine.
Huh? Yeah. Especially now, you know.
It has so it much has of meaning, my God.
Meaning.
Imagine telling your great-grandchildren that God wrote this letter
yes.
to a family member.
Yeah.
And Nina's name is there. Oh,
yeah.
She's so lucky.
That is for all posterity.
Now you were living in very comfortable army life and your dad was getting posted. And we know once you're part of the Indian Army, wherever you go, you are privileged to get admission into schools and colleges.
Yes.
So what prompted you to come and study in Anantapur? Although Swami had said that to you as a little girl, is that what you wanted to do as well?
Yes, as early as I can remember, I mean, that interaction with Swami right in the beginning, like that love that I can't even describe the love, as I told you in the first interview.
Yeah.
So that is what drew us. Like my sister was the first, ironically, and she still continues here. And then my brother joined. And then this was me in 1983. It was just no other way. I mean, we just, in fact, every holiday after 1976, we would be in Puttaparthi. We haven't seen any other place in India. Except Puttaparthi, that is where we would be here. In fact, some of our most beautiful times were during the summer courses. We attended all three of them, 77, 78, 79. And some of the experiences of that time were also... Can I share some
Please
of
do.
Them?
This is before you became a student. You
before,
were able
before.
To join the summer
yes,
course as Swami's guests.
Yes, as Swami's guests. One of this shows Swami's boundless love, that how he's the master of the universe and yet he can... take care of the little desires even of a 10-year-old child. So this was during the summer course where, we would get saris during the summer course. So I would be part, since my sister was there, part of the Anantapur group. And since they were students and I was just a little girl, so though I had a badge, but I wasn't given a sari. This was 78, I think, 78 summer course. And during the valedictory function, that is a procession, like everybody was dressed in the saris that Swami had given. And because I didn't have one, so I just wore my own, whatever I had. And I was standing there in the procession, in the lines. And Swami came. We were all waiting for Swami. And as soon as Swami would come, the procession would start. Swami crossed all of us. And then suddenly he saw me. And he called me. And he said, "Tumko sari nahi mila? You didn't get a sari?" I said, "No, Swami." And immediately he called one of the volunteers and he said that right now get a sari, gave it to me. And the procession was stopped. Everybody waited until I wore the sari and I came. And only then Swami saw me and then the procession started. So, I mean, that Swami could...
You were literally a showstopper. You stopped the procession till you got dressed and came back.
Came back. I mean...
Wow, so thoughtful, huh?
This, I know. I mean, when I think of it sometimes, like,
Such minor detail.
Just an insignificant little girl. I mean, nothing. But how much Swami thinks about each one of us. That is something that has stayed with me.
Everyone who shares their experiences reminds us of this, that of his millions and millions of devotees, he made each one of us feel special.
Special, exactly.
If, you know, as a parent, if you have two children, it's so hard to make both of them feel special equally at all times. There's always a challenge. And this was a mother with a million devotees.
Yeah.
And Swami made everybody feel they were the... apple of his eye.
I mean, they were guests and they were such big VIPs, VVIPs. And then still he had time for this little girl. I mean, that is something that's touched and stayed with me always. And then, I mean, these are lessons for us to learn in whatever positions one is, that always have time for the other, however small. No one is small or insignificant in Swami's eyes. There's another incident that I would like to share. I mean, there were such beautiful times now when I think back about it. We were staying inside, in 1977, we were staying inside the campus, the Brindavan campus, and we had to get the food from the canteen. And we had to cross the mandir, the old mandir. And there was Swami on top, and sometimes he would also be down. So every time you crossed, sometimes he would be standing there, you would get a quick pad namaskar. And he used to always call me Pakora. So, kaisa hai Pakora? You know, these kind
of... cute nickname.
Yeah.
Which is basically a vegetable fritter. Pakoda is an eatable...
It is an eatable. A stout one.
A podgy one.
So, he would be standing sometimes at the window as I would come. I remember once when he was... Suddenly, I wasn't aware. And then suddenly, Swami is there at the window. And he's saying, kya pakoda kitna khata hai? How much you eat? Wahan bhi khata hai? Tiffin mein bhi bhar ke lata hai. You're eating there as well as getting the food. Or he would say that kitna stylish hai. Ek dress sham ko, ek dress subah.
Oh, so you were changing your clothes and he was observing you were being very stylish.
So those were mundane things, those were jokes.
But they always had a deep meaning.
Yeah. They had a deep meaning. Now, after so many years, you realize it and you go into it. I mean, you think about it. Another significant thing that had happened during that time was when my auntie was not well. This was, I think, 78 summer course. My auntie, Mrs. Hemlata Chankakoti, she was Sevali's mother. She and my mother, they were sitting in the first row. Swami was giving his discourse. And auntie was not feeling well. Her head was reeling. So my mother was fanning her with whatever. She had a book, I think, fanning her with a book. And Swami noticed this during his discourse. He stopped his discourse, came and got his glass of water to my mother and gave it to her and said, give it to Amma. And mother, because this is Swami's glass, so she poured the water into her hand and was trying to give it to her through her cupped hand. And then Swami said, nahin, glass se khilao. Give it to her in the glass. And like he waited till auntie was feeling better and then only did he continue his discourse. So this was something that kind of really has stayed with us for all this time.
So much grace.
So much grace. And during the same few days later, my granny was not well suddenly. We were staying in the old hostel dorm. They were staying in the old hostel dorm that was right in the basement. Everybody was, you know, they would have their mattresses on the floor and that is where they were staying. And one
day...
This was in Brindavan. And granny, suddenly she felt very sick. So she would go in the car, actually. Dr. Patel would take her in the car and Ma and all would go earlier. So when granny didn't come, Ma and auntie came back for granny and they saw that granny was lying down on the ground and she was feeling very sick. So they were there with her trying to attend her. And then suddenly someone said, Swami is coming. And Swami came down to the basement, looked at her and then he blessed her, gave her vibhuti and he said, let her get admitted to the dispensary. And there every day, morning and evening, he would come and take care of her, give her darshans. And that's the time when we got Swami very closely, me and my mother. In fact, one day, the first day, she was trying to touch Swami's feet. You know, she was in the bed and then she bent down and Swami lifted his feet on the bed and he said, nahin, nahin, Mataji. He lifted his feet on the bed so that she could touch and do the pad namaskar properly.
So he called her Mataji. So respectful. Mataji, yes. Is mother and ji is a suffix for respect.
Yeah, yeah. Another, I wouldn't say incident, but something during our first visit to Swami. I mean, that tells you about Swami's infinite love that he has. We were sitting, my brother and me were sitting huddled close to him. He would pull both of us and then one day in the course of this, as Swami was sitting in the footstool, my feet was on Swami's robe. And I didn't realize that. Like, we just wanted to be as close as possible and we just wanted to be close to Swami. And then my granny was frantically gesturing. She was saying something I didn't understand, you know, and then my mother...
Take your feet off the robe.
To take the feet off the robe. Mm-hmm. And then Swami understood and he pulled my feet closer to him.
Oh!
And he said, nahin, nahin, Mataji, ye prem hai, ye prem hai.
This is just love.
This is love. This is love. So this is something that, I mean, he taught us that love is beyond, I mean, there is no barrier in
love.
No
formality, nothing.
No formality in love. It's just oneness.
I guess your grandmother was thinking out of reverence.
Yes.
He should be respectful, yeah, not to step on the hem,
yeah,
of his robe.
But Swami's beyond that. He's just pure love. That is what he is. Mm-hmm. And these are lessons that Swami has taught us. And
no
they come
hang-ups.
In flashes, no hang-ups. No hang-ups. I think that is one of the most important lessons one needs to learn with Swami.
Very true. Now, you spent good 7 years in Anandapur, from grade 11 and 12, then undergrad and master's.
Yes.
I'm sure you had many, many experiences. What are your fondest memories? And when you look back at your 7 years at Anandapur College, Swami's University, what are your greatest lessons, takeaways from the experience?
I think the first, of course, would be the inner connect, the bond that one shares with Swami. I mean, I came there as a mollycoddle, 15-year-old, totally dependent on everybody and anything. And there Swami molded us, taught us through our teachers, Pushpa ma'am, Gemma ma'am. They taught us to be self-reliant, to be independent, to be dutiful to service. That is one very important thing that I learned over there. Without thinking of oneself, the first instinctively to go and serve somebody when you see someone that needs help. We were people from different backgrounds who came and stayed there together, lived like sisters. The adjustments that we learned over there. I mean, there were little things, life lessons, little things that Swami would teach us, like don't talk too much. And now when you read about that you have, or don't talk too much, don't criticize others. When you think, now when you read about like you have 60,000 thoughts a day, and then if you try and the first thing is you talk less and then you try to still your mind. These are things that you look back. Now when I read it, I look back and I say, my God, all this was taught by Swami to us. Live in the present, don't think about the past. These were lessons that we learned right there. You would know, I mean.
I remember them too, some of those interviews, of course.
Yeah.
But Lina, I remember Swami used to frequently speak with you, often referring to you as Pakoda.
Yes.
And he gave you some tips on eating.
Yeah.
Do you remember no potato, no banana, something
yes,
he said? What
yes,
was that
yes,
about?
Didi.
He was curbing your carbohydrate intake.
Yeah, I remember. He was telling Gemma ma'am that give the girls bananas in Antipur. And then he looked at me and said, nay, don't give her, but she doesn't need
the extra carbohydrate or potatoes or something.
And
he said it in such jest, it would never offend anyone. Swami made it so sweet and loving. If someone else came up to me and said, you know, you've got a weight problem, you better stop eating this, I'd probably not take it as nicely as when Swami told us.
I know. I mean, that was sweet. It was like love pouring out through that. It was so beautiful. So that's it. I mean, the inner connect, that's what I tell my children also, that the inner connect with Swami, the bond with Swami, I think that is something so special that every Sai student shares with Swami. I think that's the most precious thing that we carry with us. The fearlessness that comes with it. The Abhayahasta, Swami, you shut your eyes and the Abhayahasta tells you that there's nothing to fear at all. Whenever you're in a dilemma and you say, Swami, help me, what would you expect me to do at that point of time? And then you get your answer. And then finally, the surrender, like, I'm not the doer. I mean, I've realized that the times when I've struggled the most is when I've always felt that I'm the doer. I need to do this. I need to get there. But the moment that I say that, Swami, it's in your hands. The moment I say that, and then it just happens. I don't know. It just comes through.
It just falls into place.
It falls into place.
And it seems so tough till then it becomes so easy the moment you ask Swami to intervene.
Yeah, when you just let go and surrender.
I can relate to that completely.
Yeah.
You just heard part one of this Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Ms. Lina Bordalai Barua. She was in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. You can catch part 2 of this interview next week. Your feedback is very important to us. Please email us at listener@radiosai.org. Loving Sai Ram from all of us at Radio Sai in Prashanthi Nilayam.